Welcome to CFO Insights, a show focused on commercial grain operations and their accounting and finance concerns. Here is your host, CPA and Certified Business Valuation Specialist, Jeff Reardon.
Hi, I'm Jeff Reardon with White Commercial, and with me today is Dennis Kramer from BDO Canada. He's a partner there out of the Walkerton office. So hello, Dennis. How's it going today?
Doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me. So yeah, as you said, I'm a partner in BDO here. I've been in the Walkerton office for 26 years now. A little scary. I think started in grade 12 and just kind of kept coming back. And yeah, next thing you know, I've got quite a bit of experience behind me, and mainly in farming and agribusiness seems to be where I would guess probably half of my practice has kind of evolved to. And primarily owner-manager family businesses, mainly in rural Ontario is what I deal with. That's where the bulk of what I see has developed. But I guess through working with you guys and kind of just taking calls from other offices, I've found myself being named the business line leader for grain elevators and feed mills for BDO. So that was kind of a neat little ask of the firm of me, and I'd like to thank you and the White Commercial guys too for taking me on this journey.
Well, congratulations on the new title and responsibilities. But no, you've done it all yourself. We met probably 10 years ago, and you were already well down the road of helping all your customers with their grain elevator needs and feed mills, of course. Hey, you know, Dennis, I hate throwing out acronyms, but that's exactly what we got in accounting, right?
You got her, yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about ASPE and IFRS and how the different rules affect our mutual customers?
Yeah, for sure. So we have ASPE, so Accounting Standards for Private Enterprises, and these are the rules or the standards that most small and medium-sized enterprises in Canada have to follow. And then we get into these IFRS or IFRS. It's the International Financial Reporting Standards. These ones are more for public companies and the larger entities that would find themselves doing business cross borders. And since we've got the U.S. A close neighbor to the south there, we find ourselves too. We even have companies where maybe the U.S. parent is down south. We've got a Canadian sub up here, so we even have kind of a book of U.S. GAAP or U.S. Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, which you would know more on that than me. But we find ourselves sometimes we're in that book as well, trying to create statements for the sub of a U.S. parent. So. Yeah, those would be the three that I kind of dabble in a bit. Primarily ASPE, though. That's where I find my home with the small and medium-sized enterprises.
Well, can you tell me a little bit more about what makes ASPE unique?
Yeah, so ASPE is kind of a watered-down version of IFRS. So we had Canadian Generally Accepted Accounting Principles that we had followed forever and a day, and then when IFRS was adopted, and that's probably going back to when you and I first met. That was kind of the big TSN turning point of Canadian GAAP, and we had this new book of international rules, and so they kind of come up with this ASPE or rules for smaller enterprises, and they took a lot of the IFRSs and converted them into ASPE. And so as a small and medium-sized business, you ended up finding ourselves with a new rule book. It kind of had some smaller rules for smaller businesses, yet they were still trying to keep the feel or the whole intent of the bigger rule book for us.
Your help with the accounting for the grain elevators has truly helped these companies access the capital they need to grow and become more profitable. So Dennis, how does BDO value grain inventory with your elevators?
So basically with us, when I started this journey many years ago, you had grain elevators and owner managers would come up to me and say, Dennis, you know, these accounting rules, you know, if I got my tax hat on, I got one answer. If I've got my banker hat on, I got a different answer. How do you negotiate these? So it really kind of tweaked my interest because, I got looking at basically the three main pieces of what I see is, are important items for grain elevators. So inventory being one, future contracts being two, and then forward contracts being three. So you've just you mentioned inventory and how do we value that? And the ASPE rules are pretty open at the present time. They basically give us a policy choice to either value inventory at cost or at fair market value. And if you you get into the cost model, you do have a lower cost or market piece you gotta play with. And the fair value side, it kind of works out that you basically take your market value plus any premium less your cost to sell to kind of get to a fair value or a net realizable value term.
Excellent. And so we'll go through the same exercise with forward contracts, I guess. How do you value that with your elevators?
Okay, so forward contracts, that's kind of the piece that creates a bit of a problem under ASPE. I guess before I get too much into it, I would jump in to say back-to-back traders. Sometimes I get phone calls from people who don't have a futures account. They just do forwards. So they'll take a call, and think of an elevator here. They'll take a call from a producer and say, you know, I would like to, sell at a certain price. And so my elevator's agreeing to buy at that price. They then will have a list of customers that they go to and they can turn around and call back and do a sell with that elevator, maybe a larger elevator that does hedging for them, or maybe it's a larger customer that has kind of a standing order. But they basically, they don't do any future trading. They just do all this back-to-back business. So for those guys, we just consider that a future buy, a future sell. We might disclose the amounts and we leave it off the books. But where you get into, you know, involving, say, a white commercial, you have a futures trading account, then the forward grain contracts, they're a bigger piece that we have to record. And I would say that's probably the biggest piece that I've learned over the years in dealing with. Because you have this contract. It's a physical receipt or a physical delivery of a commodity sometime in the future. And the accounting rules really don't work for that piece. When you look at a financial instrument section, it basically scopes those things out. So it doesn't let you fair value them. And to get to the proper accounting and to really have a reliable, dependable net income, really, from my viewpoint, you really got to fair value those. If you look to IFRS, if you look to US GAAP, those both allow those contracts to be fair valued, and any unrealized gain or loss thereon would go through income. So with ASPE, we've made an accounting policy choice for our grain elevators. We talked to them about basically that the company would adopt a policy of applying the financial instruments section by analogy for grain purchase and sale contracts. And by doing that, you really get that balanced piece because your inventory's at fair value, your future contracts are at fair value, and then your forwards are at fair value. And we really feel that gives you the best reliable net income.
Absolutely. And for our elevators, that's the only way that we can get forward contracts financed is if they do show them on their financial statements. So that's really a big piece of the puzzle. Not only is it more accurate, it must be done in order to get the proper financing in place. So we haven't really talked about the futures account yet. How do we value the open trade equity?
So the futures account is another little piece in there where, you know, when you first look at it and you say, well, what is this thing? Are we actually selling a commodity or not? And you're not, basically, right? You're selling it, but then you're going to settle this thing in cash because you're going to roll that contract before it actually expires and you're going to realize a gain or loss. And because you're settling them in cash, you've now got something that meets the definition of a financial instrument. And that works for ASPE or IFRS. And so you basically don't have a choice with those. You end up fair valuing that future grain contract and booking the unrealized gain or loss into income. And that's really the piece that you have with that going through income. That's why you have to record the forward contract. Now, there is hedge accounting in ASPE as well as IFRS. Hedge accounting does allow you to leave both pieces off the books. But I find if you take that option, one, it's quite hard to actually get to be able to use hedge accounting because you got to prove this hedge is effective. But the other piece to this is even if you can prove it's effective and you leave both pieces off, I find people end up in trouble where you might have an unrealized buy and an unrealized gain on a sale in the future. And if you are doing hedge accounting properly, when that producer calls you up to get you to buy a certain commodity at a certain date in the future, you're going to get off the phone with them and then call your futures account and you're going to book the opposite. So you're going to book a sale. And then let's say a couple days later, you get a distiller or a feed mill or somebody calling you up and they want you to sell them a commodity at a set price in the future. And then you got to turn around and call that futures account and do the exact opposite you just did for the previous call. Well, with the futures accounts, those two buy sells instantly offset each other, assuming it's the same month of the same commodity, and you have a realized gain or loss being triggered. Yet there's a future buy and a future sell with a physical delivery. And so if you're picking up, you got to kind of pick up that spread as a fair, because it's a realized gain or loss, you also then have to pick up the unrealized gains or losses on that buy and that sell just to keep everything comparable and matched appropriately. So I really found that, yes, if you apply hedge accounting, yes, you can leave the unrealized gains and losses off the books. But because that realized piece is going through, I think you really got to make sure that you're fair valuing everything rather than just say recording realized and ignoring the unrealized gains and losses.
Absolutely. All right. So how do we value our foreign exchange accounts?
Foreign exchange accounts, again, they meet the definition of a financial instrument. So we treat them just like we would with the futures. And, you know, some of our elevators, they'll use futures to do the foreign exchange hedging. Some of them use their bank or they'll have a different deal, different way of hedging their currency. But because those are settled in cash, they're a financial instrument. And really with ASPE, you have no choice but to fair value them through profit and loss.
So Dennis, are there any tax implications of the ASPE rules?
Yeah, so with tax, we kind of have two choices, which is kind of neat. Tax rules basically would allow you to report your unrealized gains or losses or not report them. So you either have, if you're recording them for accounting and you're leaving them in for tax, then your tax and your accounting income is the same. Your tax provision or expense on your statements is going to match the income on your statements. But you do have the choice where you could say maybe record them for accounting, but then reverse them or adjust them out of income on your corporate tax return. And then this means you're not paying tax on any unrealized gains, but you're also not getting a deduction for any unrealized loss. And then it kind of makes your statements look funny because your income might be high, and if it's because of an unrealized gain and then you're subtracting it out for tax, your tax provision would be low. Now, the government does say you get to choose it, but they don't let you flip-flop because they don't want you, say, choosing it in a year where it's beneficial for you and then flipping back the other way when it's not. So it's one of those things where once you make the choice, you kind of stick with the choice. I have had clients change their treatment of it, and I just documented in the file why we're changing. What's the business reason? You know, we're not playing games with the tax man here. We're just trying to get a good policy moving forward. So that is really what we look at for tax. I guess the other thing to note, a lot of elevators kind of get muddled with the farming operation. Just a lot of small and medium ones start as maybe an on-farm storage that grows into a commercial elevator. Once you're a commercial elevator, you're on an accrual basis for tax, and you probably should have that in a separate company. But those are kind of other tax implications really beyond ASPE.
So We talked about this a little bit, but how are the banks going to be able to see the forward grain contracts on the customer's balance sheet?
So for the banks, we actually do have on right on the balance sheet itself, we have a line item that we call fair value of open forward contracts. And this line would include both buys and sells, so they can see what that unrealized gain is. We also then reference it to a note where we disclose what the effect to the income statement was of all gains and unrealized gains and losses in the year.
Thank you so much, Dennis. At White Commercial, we really, truly appreciate all the time you put in to our industry. I'm glad that you're being recognized now as a leader in it, and because really it helps the industry and our mutual customers. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure. I always enjoy these calls.